Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is your girl, TK, better known as Technisha, and you are tuning in to The Bright Side with Technisha. I have today a special guest by the name of Jared Sawyer, Jr., who is a young minister spreading the word for everyone. Jared, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
How are you today?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Got up, did my workout. And, of course, as soon as I start trying to get everything together, there's always something that comes up. But I said nothing's going to stop this show today. So I'm glad it started.
Amen.
So, Jared.
Amen.
Let's get a little bit of background about you, Jared, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, my name is Reverend Jared Sawyer, Jr. I'm the Associate Minister at Center Hill Baptist Church, and I'm the CEO and President of Jared Sawyer, Jr. Ministries, which is a nonprofit worldwide ministry that I have that's dedicated to faith, family, life, and fun. And what we do in Jared Sawyer, Jr. Ministries is we organize youth conferences. For example, the last youth conference that we had was the I'm Empowered by God Youth Extravaganza. And within my youth conferences, I have a youth series called the I'm Empowered by God Youth Event Series. And what that is it is comprised of several events throughout the year. I think the last event that we had for youth was a night of Christian bowling and fun with TLC's Chili Sun, Tron Austin, that partnered with me in that. And we have other things such as movie nights, bowling nights, lock-ins, festivals, etc. And that's a lot about what Jared Sawyer, Jr. Ministry is about, youth and also outreach. I have an organization called Blessed to Be a Blessing Ministry that I co-founded and co-preside over. And also I wrote a book as well. It's called I Belong to God. It's available on Amazon, and it's in stores and online at Barnes & Noble. And it's worldwide. You can get it anywhere. And it's really a blessing to many individuals. And, of course, I preach. I received my ministerial ordination about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I believe that was January the 12th. And I'm definitely looking forward to pastoral leadership now in the future. And that's pretty much a lot about what I do.
And I wish I could have came to the ordain if I didn't have to work that day, and I was so tired. I said, oh, I missed it, but I caught it on the news. It was wonderful, and I congratulate you. I commend you for that.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Where do you find the time to do all this, Jared, all these organizations? Then you wrote a book. That's a lot.
Well, it's all about balance. You can do many things when you balance your time out, and you know, I'm still in school. I'm still having fun as a child, and when you just balance everything out, everything works out. Like even today, today is one of my work days, and so I'm able to get a lot of my work done because I don't have to worry about school. We've been out for the past couple of days for the weather, and I'm able to get a lot of my work done, and I'm able to, you know, do a lot of those things. But then other days when I have school, sometimes I have to, you know, have a lot of different things to do. And when I was younger, it was a lot harder because I didn't really have a lot of people, you know, working with me in my ministry. Now my ministry, you know, is I do have a lot of people assisting me in my ministry with social media, with publishing for my book, with booking and engagements and so forth, and public relations, all of those different things. It's definitely a lot easier now than what it was in the past before. But like I said, it's all about, you know, balance and keeping your social life and keeping your spiritual life, your business life, just being able to manage all of it. It's just all about balance. Anybody can do anything as long as you know how to balance it all out.
Yeah, about time management. Sometimes that gets hard for me because sometimes I get behind on something or I do something else and I'm like, oh, I didn't organize myself wisely. Jerry, I know that it probably has been a rocky path in the beginning when you first started out. Was there any negative comeback towards you? People, you know, some people say, oh, he's too young to be a minister, or maybe his parents are seeing dollar signs and a life on Easy Street. They thrive market for the child preachers, you know, like in Brazil and Indonesia. So was there any comments of that sort?
Well, when I first started, started when I was 5 years old, and after I had my calling, I came before my pastor, asked him if I could preach, and after he prayed about it for a long time, it was probably 1 to 2 months, and he came back and told me I could, so I went ahead and I preached on Easter Sunday, and my sermon was the 7 last words of Christ, and from then on, it became a word-of-mouth thing where a member of my church would go and tell somebody else who goes to another church, hi, a minister at my church just preached a sermon. He's 5 years old. You should have him at your church. And then they'd invite me out there. And then, of course, the chain just continued to go. And the thing was, in the beginning, social media was not anything that was used. In the beginning, any other type of media can do it. So website, all of that, it wasn't really used. Didn't get on a lot of radio besides. I did get on Frank Ski and Wanda because we used to be, you know, really close. And, you know, I did do different things, you know, like that. But I didn't really do a lot of marketing. We didn't really do a lot of social media. And it was because my mom knew that you know, she definitely sheltered. She sheltered my gift to make sure that there were not too many individuals that were able to tamper with it, because, you know, even I have a unique style of preaching. I don't preach like any other preacher. I preach in the way that God gave it to me. And as far as criticism or as far as people doing any of those type of things, it really wasn't until social media that we started to see that. If you go on my YouTube videos, you know, I have millions of views, and under the comments you'll see some negative and some positive, while some are saying, you know, they don't really appreciate the sermons and so forth because they say that I'm a child and I don't know anything, and then others are saying it's, like you said, a money sign. And it really wasn't until social media became, you know, really integrating that we started to see negative remarks and so forth. But I've, you know, that type of stuff, it really doesn't even get to me at all. That's one of those things that it doesn't really tap hold to me. It's very easy for me to ignore it when people say different things or comment or, you know, any of those type of things, because I know, you know, God is in control, and I also know that what I'm doing is right, and that definitely makes the whole difference.
Yeah, because that's how I feel. How can you say who God can call to preach? I mean, and it's so sad that we're so closed-minded that we have these negative comments, especially towards a child. You think that people would be more mature, but obviously they're not. Yeah, what spiritual disciplines or ethical principles guide your life?
There's so many. I would say definitely patience. Patience is one of those things that I believe that when you're patient and when you wait on the Lord, He will lead you to things that you'll never see, and He'll be able to guide you into experiences that you've never experienced. And that's one thing. I'd also say dedication, faith. Faith is so important because you know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And the thing is, I believe that faith is so powerful that It doesn't matter what limitations are against you, what obstacles are not working out for you. When you got faith, and when you got true faith, faith that's not stumbled by anybody or anything, not one concept, not one aspect, when you've just got true faith, it's able, it really has that ability to come up against anything that that tries to come up against what you're trying to do according to God's will. And so I'd probably say those are probably the main three right there.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's always good to have patience. That's the hardest. I think that's the hardest key for everyone to usually have, because you kind of lose it a little bit. Is there any like points where you probably had the tendency to go off the edge a little bit and forgot to have patience?
I'm sorry, can you ask the question one more time?
I was asking, was there ever a time where you almost forgot to have patience, because sometimes people try to push you to that point?
I don't know. I'm a very calm person, because a lot of times, even when people say things, half the time, I'm very slow. and it doesn't even really get to me until sometimes like a day after. I'm like, oh, they just said that. So my reaction a lot of times is kind of slow, but that's the only reason why I would probably say no to that. It's just because my reaction is just completely slow half the time.
Now, since you wrote your first book, I would like to ask, how did you come about writing this?
Well, I
have been really enjoyed the book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had been writing the book for a long time. Well, and the reason why it took so long was because I wrote it, but it wasn't a priority. I was just writing it to write it, and I said one day I would go ahead and get the book published. And so earlier last year, and probably around this year of last year, I went on, it was either Twitter or Facebook or something, and I put on there, I wonder who would publish my first book. And as soon as I put that out there, I had so many different publishing companies and so forth that were coming up and trying to get the book published. And I looked at all of the different, you know, offers and deals and so forth, and I went ahead and went with the publishing company that I went with. And when I did, I went ahead and finished the book, because the book really was almost finished. I went ahead and finished the book and went ahead and sent it to the publisher, got it all straight and everything, and surprised my mom. She didn't even know about it. In fact, I didn't tell anybody except probably my uncle and my attorney, and that was it. And I came to mom, surprised her. She was like, oh, wow, you really did write a book. Because she's like, you know, I knew you said you were going to be doing that, but I didn't think you were actually serious. And the book has done very well so far, as it continues to be distributed around the world, and it's an inspirational book. It's a book. It recognizes the fact that life is hard, and that regardless of who we are, what we may do, or where we may come from, at some point in our life, we've got to go through some things. At some point of our life, we've got to experience some type of trial or some type of tribulation. And the thing is, it's very easy to feel as if the things that we go through has a dominion over us or has any type of control over us for the least bit of a second sometimes. But we've got to oftentimes just truly have faith and believe that we belong to God. And what this book does is, I Belong to God, it actually gives an insight into different tips and spiritual advice as to how to realistically live on the path to success spiritually. It talks about prayer, but it talks about the benefits of your prayer and how easy it is to pray. And it talks about enemies and how demonic your enemies can be, but how your enemies can work on your behalf instead of working so much against you. It talks about so many different things that are definitely helpful to people, and also to youth as well, to youth and young adults and teenagers. There's a chapter in there, chapter 3, standing out is greater than fitting in. Chapter 3 looks into how when you decide that you're going to stand out, it's going to be much greater than when you try to fit in. And I give a personal story myself about my transitions between different schools, and I talk about the different environments experienced in each school and how when I would stand out, it would have a much greater result than me if I was to fit in. And so the book is definitely very influential, very glad that I wrote it, very glad that God gave me the insight to put all those words into one book, and definitely looking forward to other books to come.
I am too, and I love the fact that, okay, I know that we don't have too much time left, but I love the fact that you wrote How to Forgive. You don't have to forget, but you do have to forgive, and sometimes that's the hard part to me. But, Jared, before we get off the air, I want to ask, is there any advice that you can give other young ministers who are out there who may be struggling to preach the word or who is afraid?
Mm-hmm. My advice would be to let God lead you. Let His Holy Spirit lead you. Do your own thing. Don't let anybody or any of the ethic to get in your way of what God is trying to lead you to do. If God is giving you a message to preach one way, you preach it that way. Don't let anybody to come against that. And you continue to pursue. Sometimes age is a limitation. I know several stories of people who will try to get in the pulpit, and sometimes age is a limitation. But continue to pursue. And find spiritual leaders in your life and spiritual mentors in your life who will be able to lead you into directions that is acceptable to God's will. And so just stay encouraged and stay motivated and stay blessed.
But thank you, Jared, so much for taking out your time, and you stay blessed as well. My loved ones, you have been tuned in to The Bright Side with Technisha, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless. Jared, thank you.